I'm Rosa Mendez, and I'm here at the number one Long Island broadcast, Monty and Pharaoh. I have the best time ever.
Hey, listen, Daddy. You're listening to the number one broadcast, Monty and Pharaoh, Daddy, in Long Island. The best pro wrestling broadcast of all time, I think.
Jimmy, I got to tell you, man, it feels good to be back on YouTube. It was quite disappointing what happened to us, but we bounced back pretty fairly quickly.
Well, what else would we do? We're almost at 5,000 subscribers.
Well, speaking of that, man, we need more members.
Okay.
What do you think we need to do to get the people of those 5,000 subscribers to come on and join the team as a Monty and a Pharaoh member?
Nudity is out of the question. Any other ideas?
I don't know, man. I don't know. But what I do have a few ideas.
Well, just like Prell, they should tell two friends, and they could tell two friends, and so on and so on. Hit the like, hit the subscribe. Check out all our content.
But that's, you know what? That's why you're the star of the show, because guess what? Members get special content. Even we spoke about it. Pharaoh came to me one day and he goes, man, what's the deal? I can't even watch some of these videos because I'm not a member. And I said, there you go, Pharaoh. You got to be a member because this is what the members get. They get free content.
Nice.
That none of the other fans that watch this show get.
That's right.
You get free autographs from some of these wonderful stars that come in, right?
Nice.
All you do is you go to the MNP webpage or, right, our own page.
Yeah.
And shoot us an email and say, hey, man, I want a picture of Tommy Rich, I want a picture or whatever. And boy, that's
we
on its way.
We give them their choice.
That's right.
We rock.
We do rock.
And you need to rock too. Join.
Welcome back to Long Island's number one pro wrestling broadcast, Monty and the Pharaoh, only seen here out of Indie Music TV. Straight out of Ronkonkoma, Long Island. Abe, back again for another tour. It's like Nam, right?
What?
It's
what?
Like, it's like
the sky was orange yesterday around here. Just, okay.
It's like Nam, man. Agent Orange. Yeah, that's
yeah.
Right.
Agent Abe. What's
got
up,
Charlie
Abe?
Charlie in the background looking to shoot you. What's going on?
What? I'm doing good, man. How you guys doing?
We're doing all right. And we're going to talk about some big news next week. Jimmy Farrow.
Uh-huh.
Big news for the show. Uh-huh. Big news for the station. It's a big news
kind of week.
Kind of week.
Yeah, it sure is.
And we have Ahmad Johnson will be in next week.
Nice.
Right? The return of Ahmad.
Very nice. Very nice. We love Ahmad here on the Monty.
Ahmad loves us.
Ahmad rules.
Ahmad said to me, anything for you guys, brother.
Yeah, anything except trying to get through when he's trying to call last week.
He got the times wrong.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he got the times
wrong.
Okay,
that's different. All right. Way to go there, Ahmad. We still love you.
So real quick, we covered on This Week in Wrestling, but the passing of the Iron Sheik. Thoughts?
Yeah. Well, like I said on This Week in Wrestling, my earliest days of loving professional wrestling, he coincides with that. Seeing him step out there with Classy Fred Blassie swinging them clubs, I never thought he'd be the guy to beat Hulk Hogan. I remember being shocked as shit when I saw Skolin grabbing that towel. I says, what are you doing? Are you really going to put an end to Backlund's reign with this guy? It was a shock and a half, but I'll tell you what, it was the major moment in Sheik's career, and Sheik basically was launched after that. I mean, being a transitional champion, you know, they call a transitional champion. Sure, he was only champion for a couple of weeks, but we're talking about that title reign how many years later? Mm. I mean, Sheik just made the most out of everything he did. And later on when he was done, you know, wrestling, we said he became a parody of himself, and I honestly think that that put him over even more. As the internet grew, his wild personality, it just helped him.
I don't know, man. I think in life sometimes you want to be taken a little more seriously. Like, I think being a comedian or like, I don't know. Who's the comedian? The small guy.
The small guy.
The black guy. The small black guy.
The small black guy.
He's a small black guy. Comedian.
What,
one
Chris
of the more
Rock or something?
No.
Or?
What's his name? Kevin Hart, thank you.
He's all over it.
I keep thinking to myself, by the way, it's Johnny Photo on the couch. We'll be
thank
getting
you, Johnny
shortly.
Photo. You're so, already coming through.
I always think like someone like Kevin Hart, he's like, he's funny, but like, does his wife take him seriously? It's like, oh, Leah, let's have really hot sex. But it's like, you're the comedian.
That's
so it's
funny.
Like Iron Sheik, who started his career, and especially when he wins a title and he's going through all this stuff, he's this incredible bad guy that everybody remembers.
Yeah.
And in the end, he's just the parody.
You think so?
When he passed, it made me realize again how great he was.
Oh, he was great.
But if you would have asked me a couple of weeks ago, I would have been like, yeah, he's a clown.
Well, at the end of the day, though, what is the thing that we still subscribe to heavily? The E in entertainment. If Iron Sheik did not epitomize the E in entertainment even before it was called the WWE, I don't know who does.
That's a good point.
The guy was a showman. Wrestling is a show. He's one of the greatest heels that ever existed. It's a major loss.
No argument here. Shannon Doherty shares video of health update. This is what cancer looks like.
God.
Beverly Hills 90210 and Charmed actress Shannon Doherty shared an Instagram Wednesday and updated her years-long battle with cancer. Okay. The video showed the 52-year-old star with tears streaming down her cheeks while she was strapped to a table with her head immobilized. Mm. She's being fed into a loud machine that takes images to help properly size her mass as she will wear as she undergoes radiation for her brain cancer.
What am I supposed to do with this? You know, you give me things like this, and I'm just completely... I hit a mental stalemate. It's sad. I can't even begin to... There's been nobody in my family, thank God, although my family is quite small, but there's been nobody in my family that was stricken with the C word. I give her credit for being able to. What makes someone share this with the public? Is she just trying to educate, you know, let people know, hey, this is what I'm up against, but I'm doing okay?
Honestly, much as I enjoy social media to points,
this is not,
there's other things I don't understand.
Right.
It's like, here's one pet peeve of mine.
Okay.
People who take pictures of their dead relative's gravesite at the cemetery on Facebook. Miss
me
you,
out.
Mom. Miss you, Dad. It's like, I don't know. I don't get it. There's come points I've actually seen people take pictures of somebody in a coffin.
That's really... Yeah. that's taking it too far. Look, maybe if it's medicine, mental medicine for people to take a picture at the gravesite and say, love you. Okay, fine. But taking a picture of someone in the coffin?
Wait, you're okay with a gravesite picture?
I'm not really. If you want to know the truth, I think it's a little macabre, but that's me personally. I mean, if it makes them feel better, who the fuck am I?
I mean,
we know somebody
from our high school
yeah.
who posed with their dying wife holding her hand, like someone take a picture as I'm saying my farewell to her. I mean,
am I allowed to say that's a real sick fuck act?
Yeah.
That's it. That's fucked up.
That's called unfriend.
Yeah, that's called see you later, bye. Yeah, well, that's a little strange.
As I said, June 15th, Ahmad Johnson, and June 24th, we've got Big Brother star in studio, JoJo. JoJo smoking, boy.
Oh, we getting nice and drunk that day. I'm feeling boisterous.
It's kind of early in the morning, I think. Or it might be late at night. I don't know.
Why do you bring in a hot piece during the morning? I got to wake up first to get excited.
Farrow loves the girls.
You need blood flow.
You love the girls.
Blood flow.
You love the girls, though.
Yeah.
You love them.
Well, so do you. Don't you?
We had
you do this just to get a rise out of the
Pharaoh? We had that Moore girl in here who got angry at us.
Oh, yeah, she wasn't happy. You.
But I got to ask you this. We had an NXT star in here, right? She's no longer in NXT.
Okay.
And, you know, kind of asked her a question that she didn't think I knew, but she was dating Wardlow, so I hit her with that.
Yeah.
And, you know, she enjoyed the interview immensely, but then at midnight I get a text, like, screaming at me that I railroaded her. What do you think of that?
I mean, shouldn't she be able to adjust?
She was mad at the moment. She should have let you know. He probably got on her shit, and then...
That's exactly what I said. I said Wardlow called.
But at that point, the horse is out of the barn, right?
Exactly. There's no need at midnight to get on your case.
And it's good press, too.
Yeah.
Which girl from NXT?
What was her name?
Myla Moore. Yeah, Myla Moore. You don't even remember her.
You don't even know her.
Yeah.
That's like
when she was there.
So you're complaining about Triple H saying, hey, you, and you don't even know her name.
You don't even have any negatives?
I saw Triple H almost every week for how many years?
What's up, man?
The time NXT started, like I was there for the first big show when they announced the new Performance Center.
Right. Okay.
And then they had the show. They do a ladder match that night, I think, for the title?
Might have.
I think that was the first, like, a pay-per-view NXT. So I was there, they did the big press conference, the grand opening at the Performance Center, then everybody went over to Full Sail. And in classic non-communication and working for WWE is we're breaking down. And, hey, man, we got that big group picture. What big group picture? Yeah, Hunter wants everybody a picture of everybody on the crew, talent, on the stage. You got to take the photo. I said, when was somebody going to tell me this? You didn't know about it? No. So now we got to run out there, get a ladder, climb on a ladder, get everybody looking. It's on Facebook a whole bunch of times for anybody from that era. There's probably 15% of the people that worked. That was 2013. So almost 10 years. It was like July of 2013. So almost 10 years ago. There's probably 10% of the people left.
Wow.
Talent and crew-wise. I mean, Sammy, Kevin were down there at the time. And,
right.
Roman was somebody else. Liaki, I guess his name was originally.
Right.
The Shield wasn't the Shield back then.
Right.
You got to take a big group shot. And then I didn't go down there because we had Florida guys. So a lot of people I didn't know. And I would go down and was like, who are you? Where's so-and-so? I'm like, I'm the boss up on the main show, so I'm here working this week.
I'm slumming it.
NXT was always fun. It was tough shooting four shows a night. You know, they did four tapings before they went live. On USA, and you'd sit there and go, choose as much studio as possible, run across the parking lot to the arena, and then go through four tapings. But the crowds were. Did you guys ever go down to a show at Full Sail?
Well, no.
I heard it's a nice, small crowd, intimate crowd, right?
It was 250, 300 people, all the same fans. You got to know they had the great chance. It was different. It was a welcome change from a Raw or SmackDown.
Right.
It was intimate. It was a little arena.
It was like
arena.
The old territory days.
That's what it felt like.
Yeah.
And a lot of great talent. And those shows were really well put together.
What was the young Roman Reigns like, from what you remember, considering where he is today?
No tattoos. He wore trunks. He had the long hair. I don't really remember much of him because he was... That's how I remember him. And then he came out in the Shield that one night where they jumped... They jumped Ryback, I think, on their debut.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that's the guy. Laiaki?
Is that Joe?
But now Seth, I had known, because he came on an international tour with us. He was Seth Rollins. He had the half blonde hair, and I didn't know who he was. I forget what countries we're in, but they brought him up to work matches. I'm like, man, this guy can really fly around the ring, man. He's extremely talented.
Yeah.
Nice kid. Same with Sammy. When we did, we made a big deal out of him being in Saudi last week. But when we went there in 2014, we did three live events. Nobody talks about because it wasn't television. But those were the first shows we did over there. And Sammy was there. And he spoke, you know, because he spoke the language. And he spoke, the crowd got into it. And he brought the boys to the local markets and showed them how to go shopping during the day and where everything was. And I'm watching this whole thing the last week. And, you know, the crowd's popping for him. I'm like, he already did this. You know, they made it like this never happened before because it wasn't on TV. Doesn't exist in the world of WWE. If it didn't happen on TV, never happened.
So you were actually there for when they were testing the grounds in Saudi Arabia to see whether or not.
Yeah,
they were
gonna... we did three live events. We did three shows in three nights in the same building. We were told don't leave the hotel, don't wander around, don't do this, don't do that, don't bring this. Make sure nothing is in your no porn on your computer. It's like they give you this whole sheet of what not to do. Say, don't try to sneak alcohol in. Don't try to find it. Apparently, you can find it if you look in the right places. So I'm
Did Vince come down for this?
No.
Really?
Not for the live events now.
No, just he curious because it's the testing ground. It feels like, you know, that was when they were.
Nah, he wasn't there. And, you know, they kept saying the Prince was going to be there. But you know, every time they say that, the guy never showed up.
Okay.
But it was much different than now, because if you saw anything that people are posting on social media now at the shows of the last couple of years compared to, you know, 9 years ago, no women from the office, no female wrestlers. There were no women in the crowd.
Right.
Little girls. Once they, like, turn 12 or whatever they call it, they're considered a woman.
Right.
We saw them throw a couple out, all crying and upset. You know, I grabbed them and...
Would they check their age? Nope, over 12, out of here.
They just went by their look.
We saw some girls
with the hair pulled up under the hats,
right?
Like low like this.
And wow, one that's security funny. Guy goes,
wow,
I think that's a girl. I'm like, I think you're right, but she was looked like she was 10 or 11. But they wanted to come to the show. The crowds were okay. I mean, size wise, I think the government kind of makes you go, or they give you tickets. It's like a bizarre,
interesting
thing.
Oh,
over there
so,
with how
are you,
it works.
So are you trying to tell me like these Saudi crowds we're seeing now are kind of like forced crowds like back in Korea?
Well, no, not like that. But it's but the people know the show. Right. I mean, if you look at the crowd, they know who's originally when we first started going, like that first big battle royal, they only popped for the older wrestlers because I think back then when we first started going, they didn't have access to what was going on now. They were only would watch stuff on YouTube.
Right. Right.
And I think as the country has progressed, as they like to say. you know, they know what's going on as opposed to when we first went over there.
Well, everybody, that's just a taste of what you're going to get after our commercial break because we got the inside. We got the guy 21 years working for the WWE. In fact, I think I was there the day he told me he got the job, and we were very excited. So,
Gold's Gym, when we both used to, we were a little more svelte.
A little more svelte, yeah, that's for sure. I'd like to thank the band that sings the theme song for Monty Nefaro and Jimmy Farrow, along with his partner, Bart Griggs. Make up the band Wisteria Hall.
Bart, man.
Wisteria Hall sings, this song is In My Dreams, This Life Not Far Behind, Here Comes the Rain. You could also just hear that cover of Wish You Were Here on the Iron Sheik tribute video that's been made for the show.
I really appreciate that you enjoyed that version. That was very
I do very immensely. Cool. I do immensely.
Thank you.
Have a hard time putting it on YouTube because we have to share revenue with Pink Floyd like they need.
I don't want to give like, Roger Waters one fucking dime. Fuck you, Roger Waters, you fucking psychopath. Anyway, I'm sorry.
Get out of our country.
Bastard. Go back to wherever the fuck you came from. You don't pay taxes here anyway, you prick.
Go to Wisteria Hall. Yeah, that guy's been on a working visa for the last 47 years.
Oh, I can't stand him. Boy, David Gilmour forever. You suck, Roger.
Next.
We need a new what?
President by the name of... No, don't say it.
Don't you dare. You're going to get
go find Wisteria Hall on the Wisteria Hall YouTube page. Download their music on Spotify, Apple Music.
Fantastical.
Don't even say another word. Reverb Nation. You can catch, if you didn't know, you are watching Long Island's number one pro wrestler broadcast, Monty DeFaro. Catch us on the Monty DeFaro YouTube page, the Monty DeFaro Facebook Live page. Hear us on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Anchor. Catch us on the Monty DeFaro Twitch TV page. And if you're lucky enough to live in New York, you'll get to catch Johnny Photo in the condensed.
Abbreviated
version.
Yeah, right.
Three times, not once, not twice, but three times. We're over 150,000 people watch us weekly on channel 115 every Tuesday at 9:30 p.m. and Saturday at 11:30 a.m. and channel 20 on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. And then, we're also the flagship show
of
the app, the network, Intuitive.
Spelled? Intuitive. Man, I'm getting good at that.
You are getting good.
I'm getting good at that.
Especially when you read the cheat board.
I just took a quick look. It was a beautiful glance. What a pro.
No, but you are
what?
A pro.
But
listen, guys, seriously, I'll say it again. It's a free app. Download it on your phone. Download it on your on Roku channel.
Yeah.
Right? You got documentaries. You got movies. Yeah. You've got music videos.
Yeah. But most importantly,
The flagship show. Monty and DeFaro.
Doesn't get better than that.
And again, guys, it's free. Can't hurt. Just download it.
My favorite four-letter word.
There you go. All right, we'll be right back after this commercial break where I'm excited to have our friend, former WWE making his return, photographer, Mr. Johnny Photo.
We shall see you in a snapshot second.
M&J Video Games and Collectibles, sport and non-sport cards, wrestling items, autographed items. We buy, sell, and trade. M&J Video Games and Collectibles, located at 1049 Queen Street, Southington, Connecticut. Call us at 1-860-479-9223 or 860-93-GAMES. M&J Video Games and Collectibles.
Sir?
Ah.
Manscaped?
Uh-huh.
You know, have you tried the new equipment that's been sent?
I'm afraid because it says weed whacker. I'm scared.
Maven, Manscaped, what are you thinking about Manscaped, dude?
Love it.
What do you use it for?
Necessity. What don't I use it for? Put it this way. The only hair I have on my entire body is these eyebrows.
Yeah.
That you see. These caterpillars racing to the middle of my nose. That's it.
That is it.
That's all I have. And that's all I want.
That's the
Manscaped. It's a must.
We were talking before the show. There's nothing worse than just hair.
Yeah.
Right? Hair on a woman, hair on a man. It's just bad.
Absolutely. And it's the one thing that the older I get, it starts growing more in unwanted areas.
Absolutely.
I hate it.
I'm going to ask you a question.
Uh-oh.
Just going to go out there.
Oh, boy.
Go for it.
You're doing a deed.
Yes.
Again, I don't want you to have to admit this because we... As men, we try not to admit this, but if you're going to go do the deed on a woman, would you rather have her be hairless or a little hair, racing stripe, or
racing stripe.
Full retro bush?
Racing stripe.
Retro bush is out.
Yes, thank you.
Retro bush is out.
Yeah.
I don't mind a small, well-manicured landing strip. Every now and then, if it's completely, and I'm talking like baby's ass bald, then I start. Where is that pedophilia line? I don't want to wander into that.
That's very interesting. Like that. I never thought about that. You're a smart dude. Holy shit.
So if the landing strip is clean enough for the plane to go in smoothly, you're cool with that.
If the landing strip has like I said, well manicured. Yeah, you can see both sides. It's not
like blinking lights on both sides of that. Landing?
I don't want. You know, I don't want the shrubbery going off into unwanted areas on that.
Gotcha.
As well.
Oh, yeah, look what you found. Ooh.
I got to be all honest, gotcha. Though. Hey, the older I get, though, I don't think I can be as...
I found it!
Have you ever gone down there and like, just like, she slowly brings down the underwear then...
What is...
Retro.
Absolutely.
You're like, whoa.
Wow.
Yeah,
like,
I'm 46,
like it pops out? Do you like walk out or what do you do?
No, I muster through. I muster up the courage to get through.
He's a trooper.
Yeah.
He's a trooper. Gotta give him an A.
Yeah, wow. Not all heroes wear capes.
Yeah, I hear you. Listen, I couldn't say it. Well, if you have the same beliefs as Maven does, Manscaped could help you.
Absolutely.
The weed whacker.
Absolutely.
What are you thinking?
I'm thinking that I may have to, like, you know, go in a room, close the door, and hang out with the weed whacker for a little while.
Yeah, I think you're a retro guy, aren't you?
I like 70s adult films, if that's what you're getting at.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, but with that, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be back with this wrestling icon, Maven.
We will see you in a dropkick second.
Dropkick. All right, welcome back to Long Island's number one pro wrestling broadcast, Monty DeFaro. We're welcoming Johnny Photo back in studio. Johnny, how are you, buddy? Good to see you.
Doing all right. Figured I'd wear a wrestling shirt, but not a WWE shirt. I'm going to honor John Huber, a.k.a. Brody Lee, a.k.a. Luke Harper.
Did you know Huber?
Yeah, great dude. We used to talk hockey all the time. Big hockey fan. Grew up in Rochester, or as he called it, Rochester, New York. He was a big Leafs fan. We would go at it all the time.
What was the rumor around the wrestling circles of what he passed away from? I mean, you read what he passed away from, like some kind of lung disease.
When it first came out that he passed away, nobody had any. First of all, like none of us, nobody had any idea he was sick. I mean, for them to kayfabe something like that for months, it's pretty incredible in this day and age. But according to his wife, she explained it all, and that's what I'll go with. You know, I'm not going to speculate. The guy was in, he had dropped some weight. He was looking good. He was doing a lot of cardio. Hell of a nice guy. One of the nicest, scary-looking men you'll ever meet in your life.
Right.
He really was a nice guy. We have our hockey arguments. He was a big Leafs fan. I'm an Islanders fan.
You didn't rub in all those damn cups, did you?
A few, but he got one. When Tavares left, I said, there's no way he's leaving the Islands. And then when he signed that contract, oh, man, did he get... He got all over me. He was relentless. Actually, I had a bet one of our merch guys was from Toronto. And I said, if he leaves, I will buy you an official jersey, not a cheap one, stitched jersey.
Boy.
So that SummerSlam, we're in Toronto. We got to go up into the store. They brought a video crew, Renee Young, Paquette interviewing, doing this whole spiel about me buying his jersey, forking over the cash. Now it cost me like $180, but. You know, they never aired it, of course. I don't even know what happened to the video.
Yeah, you got to get your hands on that, dude.
Yeah.
I said the only thing worth it was spending the time with Renee.
There you go.
All right, dude. So 21 years with the World 21 Wrestling. You joined them when it was still World Wrestling Federation, right?
October 2000. My first show was Hartford, Connecticut. It was the night after Kurt won the title. I wasn't at the pay-per-view. Maybe it was Night of Champions. Kurt won the title for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And I had interviewed, the backstory is for me getting in there was, we were all fans growing up. You know, we all do stupid wrestling shit with our camcorders and whatever, but back in the day.
He wasn't on the cards that we used to make. Why wasn't he wrestling with us?
He was on. He was watching.
We did stuff at Patino's house, right?
Yeah, all the time, man.
And so my first job when I was shooting hockey, the old photographer that hired me would rent the photo strobes, the flashes up in the ceiling when WWF came to Nassau. Back then, it was still real,
right?
So I would meet him. I'd turn on the lights, meet him somewhere in the stands. Wasn't allowed backstage, wasn't allowed anywhere. I'd go up in the catwalks, hang out in the press room, and make sure nothing happened with the lights. I always got sent because my boss knew I was a wrestling fan. So he's like, hey, make some extra money and go watch the show. So I'll never forget, it was one of the other guys. And we're up in the catwalks, and all of a sudden, he'll always look down, and there's, I'm pretty sure it was Earthquake and Tugboat in the ring. Like, I don't know if they were a tag team or they were going against each other at the time. I forget when, that time frame. But they were in the ring, like, going over stuff. I'm like, that's pretty wild, to watch that.
You saw them rehearsing.
Yeah.
Nice.
Very it was cool. Different back then because they taped a whole bunch of shows.
Yeah.
And made the TV show out of those. And then one time they said, hey, we want you to come shoot a show because I don't want to travel so much, and maybe we'll use you when they come to Nassau. It was ringside, the height of Sunny and all that. And she's in these shorts, and I'm like, she's like, she's leaning over the ring. Now the pyro guys, it was a completely different setup than it was before Monday Night Raw.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think Flair was with WWF at that time, mm-hmm. which was pretty wild to see him in my 20s. It was still like you grew up, like you knew him from the magazines. You didn't see him on TV when we were kids, but you knew who he was. And they liked the stuff, and like, ah, now we're going to do something different. And if, as it got bigger, I went and shot from hard camera a couple of times. I was actually at the show when they poured the cement in Vince's Corvette.
Right.
Nice.
And I was backstage taking pictures of that, and they're like, oh, go back and do this. I'm like, I don't, you know, I was getting back into it at that point. You know, it was getting huge again. And probably like a year or two after, my boss called the guy I worked with and said, hey, there's a photo editing position opening up. He's like, I don't want to drive to Connecticut. He lived in Oceanside. About like 4 or 5 months later, he's on the phone. He comes in. He's like, hey, Tom just called. Tom Buchanan was the old photographer who hired me. He's looking for somebody. I just got married. I don't want to travel. I'm like, I'm single. I'll talk to him. And we're on the phone for like an hour that Friday night. Explain the job. And he's like, do a cover letter. Do this. Put my name on it so it gets shoved through human resources. Got a call like a week or two later to go for an interview. Interviewed with HR. And like the last question was, what's the starting salary? When they told me, I went, it's more than I'm making after 10 years of working at this job.
Can I ask you what the starting salary was back in there?
The start, $45,000. And it was in 2000.
That's Damn. Pretty good.
That's great.
Yeah, 401k.
Great.
They hadn't gone public yet. So, like, actually, they went public the week I started.
Right.
When I had the ring set. I didn't shoot any of that. That was when I had the ring set up at down at Wall Street.
Yep.
So it was Hartford, Nassau Coliseum for SmackDown. And I went, drove home, like a half hour, and then I didn't have to go to the office. I'm like, wow, I'm off doing, go to the gym and doing nothing the rest of the week till I had to go to the next show.
That's amazing.
After, for $45,000.
That's amazing.
So for all the years of hockey, I'd process all the film, go shoot a hockey game, go back 9 o'clock the next morning, process all this film. We had photographers all over the country shooting different games. It was like almost nonstop during the hockey season. Now, this was go to the office once every few weeks, drive up to Stanford, or go home and like go to the gym in the morning and do whatever the hell I want and not be bothered by anything.
Who'd you work for with hockey? Was it the Islanders? Or?
I worked for a company called Bruce Bennett Studios. Okay. So we were contracted. So we were team photographers for the Islanders, the Rangers, the Devils, and the Flyers, which was, as you guys know, I'm a huge hockey fan, so it was like a dream job.
Right.
Being around the Stanley, you know, shot 9 Stanley Cup finals, right. Traveled to Europe shooting world tournaments. That was like the dream job, but you get to a point where you go, I should be making more money.
Right.
You know, when you're 25 and you're in a Stanley Cup locker room, I would have paid you to do that. When you get hit your 30s, you're like, you know, well, I want to buy a house. I want to do this. I want to do that.
Kind of loses
I can't do that off of this. And this job came on. I was single. So why? You know, they told me, do you have a passport? I'm like, yeah, I've been to Europe. You're probably going to England and Jamaica with like in the first month of working here. I'm like, Jamaica for what? Oh, for the Diva shoot. I'm like, the what?
Wow.
Yeah, a month in, I'm on a plane with one of the makeup artists to catch the last good. The last group of women in Jamaica for the Diva shoot. And it was Lita, China, and Deborah McMichael. Or wow. Deborah, she was married to Steve at the time.
All right, so be honest, though. Is there a part of you in Johnny Photo's mind like, man, maybe one will catch a glimpse of me and we're going to hit it off and we're going to make something happen here?
What?
No.
Never?
No.
Do you ever attempt to make something happen?
But first, they're all probably going to kick the crap out of me, let's be honest.
China.
You pictured Miss Jacqueline Moore.
Oh, yeah. Well,
she worked stiff as it was in the ring. The other girls used to get mad at her. I don't know. Actually, the craziest one, the craziest one that was the most fun, that it was a weird relationship that we had as coworkers, was Ivory. Because she would physically beat me up.
All the time.
And she knew, you know, my wife used to work in the office, and she knew her. And I said, you know, Jen doesn't like when you do that to me. And then she stopped.
So your wife,
somebody else.
Wait a minute. Your wife used to give you a hard time because Ivory used to beat you up?
Yeah, she knew it. She used to work in the office. That's where we met. And she knew Ivory. But she, I would just say, joking around.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Because she always say, well, you know, Jen, she's always talking about you. I'm like, she gets mad. She doesn't really want you hitting me like that anymore.
<That's>
I didn't care. I loved it. She was crazy. She was legit crazy. Funny as hell, but she brought this bullwhip one year. We were in Arizona when we did the one at Phoenix. And she was snapping the tops off the flowers. Because we'd all sit together and drink all night. And then wake up at like 5 in the morning. And she's like, yeah, like, you know, Lisa, we're going to get in a lot of trouble from the hotel. I mean, I don't even know what the alcohol bill was. And I was, my boss at the time was about to give birth, so they left me in charge. I'm like, you, I'm in charge of running this whole shoot with TV. And it was like, it was like a free-for-all.
All right, so what happened, John? 21 years, what happened?
You know, it was, the company got more, has gotten more corporate. I'm sure as you guys read whatever on the internet or
there's
whatever.
Some big changes, and, yeah.
You know, new people coming in, running everything.
Yeah.
There was some changes at the top, and I think my boss just, you know, sometimes they like you till they don't. And I've seen it happen with lots of people, and nitpicky stuff. And I mean, I couldn't give you any reason. Like, I'm never disrespectful to anybody. We all would say ridiculous things to each other. That's the way life was on the road. Got in trouble for something because somebody told on me. I'm like, I've been called way worse by, you know, hires up in this company.
But were you shocked, or you kind of felt like you felt like something was coming?
As it was getting to that, oh, I knew it was coming because I was getting ghosted, like on schedule stuff and all kinds of other things. So it was, you know, you'd have to be pretty stupid from the perspective of how I was being treated leading up to that point. And I said it to the guys, the last TV I worked was in Norfolk, Virginia. I said, something's going down, man. And they're like, oh, come on. You know, even one of the kids from your office, come on, you've been here forever. You do everything. I said, I'm talking schedule, and I'm not getting a response, you know, because we were always 2 months ahead.
Right.
And then there was that Friday, like, meeting times were changed, and next thing you know, like, to do it with Zoom. And, you know, that's how I was told.
Hey, can I ask what that conversation was like?
It was just, I went on, got online, and a screen popped up, and it was HR, my boss, and I'm like, am I getting, I knew what was going on.
Right, yeah.
Why else would they be like that? And I'm like, I'm getting fired? And I started laughing, like the incredulous laugh, like, really?
Right.
And he was on, oh, it's always tough when these things happen, and they have to cut off, and then HR does everything after that. So he can't, you know, he has to stay on for like no longer than 2 minutes.
Did they give you a reason, or was it just like, we just decided to, you know?
No, they don't, no reason. Just, you know, we decided it's time to part ways. I'm like, okay.
Was there a change in power, like, with your bosses above you?
Yeah.
So there was a change.
There was a change. The long-term head of the department was let go. Someone below got promoted, who I had a very good relationship with over the years. So that was what caught me off guard the most. Like, you know, this person going along with this.
Were you hurt by that?
Yeah. Yeah, you give them, make a lot of, you know, I'm not the only one. I'm like, you know, anyone that works or travels for any company, there's a lot of personal sacrifices. You miss, I can tell you how many parties, birthday parties, holidays, it was all, you know, work. And I told my kids that night, I said, you can learn a valuable lesson. Don't ever put work in front of your family because they don't care about you. You're just a number. And way more important people than me in that company or any other, you know, major corporation globally. They don't care who you are or what you've done. Worked. I came here and sat here with COVID. I told you what we were doing to get to COVID, get down to Florida. Was driving to Philadelphia, driving back, flying back to Philadelphia, putting an extra 3 hours a day in travel. Hey, that's great. We really appreciate you doing that. Nah, not too much, I guess. 2 years later, you know, a year later, who cares? Time to go.
No, right.
So, I mean, I don't miss dealing with that person anymore. It was really starting to get on my nerves. It was, you know, you can't escape anything working there. There's no going home and turning it off. I would land and it'd be 5 emails on a Tuesday morning. Like, they call me. I'm like, dude, like I'm working till midnight, you know, after a show. Getting up at 3 to fly home. Can I go take a nap and call you at like 2 in the afternoon? What is so urgent? Why are you sending me an email on Saturday morning when it could be sent on Monday?
Well, my wife.
It's not like we needed a photographer. If you could call me and you need somebody, that's a 6 a.m. email.
My wife's going to kill me for this question, but it's just me, right? So you started 45, 21 years later. What does it end at as a photographer in 2000?
Oh, I was director. I got promoted. I worked my way up from staff photographer, senior staff photographer, manager. I think I went from manager to director. I don't think I was a senior manager. You know, sometimes they just give you titles to give you more money. They have to justify
right
to the higher ups why you should get this bump up in pay.
Right.
And what happened was, we were under TV. We were bouncing around. We're like the redheaded stepchildren of the company. You know, it's a television production company. Everything revolves around TV. You guys know that. And it was, get out of the way. Don't do that. All right, you know, how come you didn't get that shot? Well, the cameraman was standing there. It was like people in the office had no idea. Well, I saw it on TV.
Wait a minute. Well, so yeah, they would get pissed. There. So if you missed a shot, there was a, like, they saw something that they thought you should have got.
Something that was a big spot. And
so wait, I'm sorry. So are they expecting, like, is there points where your boss is like, okay, look, the script is here. You need to be ready for this move type
of
thing?
Well, it was like certain spots where, it wasn't every week, but there was some big matches. You know, Vince is getting put through a table. You know, you got to get that. But when there's five cameramen and they're shoving you out of the way, what are you supposed to do? It's physically impossible.
Yeah, so you got two people fighting to do something for their job.
And it's a TV show.
Wow.
I'll give you an example of one. Was, remember that Hell in a Cell? It was DX against Vince, Shane, and Big Show.
Okay.
I think we were in Toronto. And we were told the shot to get was Vince's head and Big Show's ass. That came from Vince.
Get that shot, Johnny.
So they're still lining up the spot. Show was knocked out. And I'm holding my ground against the cameraman. He gave me shit. He got on my case afterwards. I said, dude, all that was in my head the entire day was Vince's head and Big Show's ass.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And we got the shot. And then you go on like nothing ever happened. You don't get the shot, you're getting called into a meeting.
And by the way, we're going to show some of the epic shots that Johnny's taken, and we'll let him describe these. And these are ones that you see in all the documentaries, all the shoot interviews, all that stuff.
Right.
Epic film.
Hey, can I throw in the typical nerd question? Are you able to watch wrestling now after all of this shit, or are you like, fuck wrestling?
You know what? The only stuff I don't. I'll put it on once in a blue moon. The Bloodline storyline is
great. It's great.
It's probably the only really thing worth watching.
Okay.
I think Sam. I love Sammy as a human being.
Okay.
I think he's one of the greatest people you'll ever meet. Kevin and you know Roman is a great guy. The twins are. I've known them since they first got called up. Rikishi, you know, the younger brother. I don't really know him well. He came up after I was let go, so I don't know him well, but, you know, Jimmy and Jay, awesome guys, hung out with them plenty, you know, had a few cocktails, shot the shit.
Did the wrestlers reach out to you after you were let go? Like, did you hear from some of the
I heard
talent?
All three members of New Day.
Nice.
I got a text from Xavier Woods that night.
Really?
Like around midnight, because, you know, was word started spreading around when my guys, the other photographers.
Mm-hmm.
Kofi sent me a long message on Facebook, which then followed up by him abusing me for being a Jets fan, so he had to get that one in there.
Right, of course.
I never should have been champion anyway. Shut up, Kofi! All right,
and
next.
Big E sent me a text. You know, I still text with Big E every now and again. You know, right. I wish him a happy birthday, ask him how he's doing. He buzzes me back right immediately.
Cool.
All three guys are, you know, awesome. Three awesome people. Who else? Megan Morant, one of the backstage interviewer. She sent me a text. A few other Shane Helms. The next morning I woke up, there was a message from him. And one of the guys told me Michael Hayes just walked up and said, what the fuck? What photo? And they shook their head and like. Now, he and I would go at it all the time. He'd give me shit about the Jets.
Another
it was nonstop.
What is this?
Because everybody knows how bad we are.
Oh, yeah, were.
Michael Cole. A lot of people call me like as word was spreading in the afternoon. It happened at noon by my meeting, and then I guess they had their production meeting at 1 o'clock or whatever. I got Michael Cole. I got a, you know, what the fuck from Michael Cole.
Michael Cole.
I texted him all the time because we bitch about the Mets and the Jets. Like,
right, sure.
Constantly. He and I text all the time.
Cole's a Mets and Jet fan? I'm just curious. Is he really?
He's, I'll get a text.
Are you Mets and Jets?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm a gym fan. Jets, Islanders, Mets. I'm perpetually disappointed.
Dude, every season, we might not talk for 4 months.
He's ruined.
And this is what I'll get. We suck.
Ruined.
And I go, of course we
I'll
do.
Have a little bit of positivity at the Jets. I get a text from him. They suck.
Oh, no, forget it. No, no, we got Aaron Rodgers. He's like, oh, yeah, well, you know, I'm like, what?
No, and Aaron Rodgers, I'm waiting for the injury. Stop it. He's going to get hurt.
Stop it. Stop all of this bad karma. Get the fuck out of the room, okay?
I would like to be gone. Dude, when they were 7-4, I'm like, oh, my God.
But you had to know, though, last year. You had to know. Couldn't you see it coming?
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah.
The Patriot
see,
games?
Now I'm being a realist. I could see that shit.
That
coming.
Horrible roughing the passer on
no,
the pick
stop
six.
It already.
This didn't happen. That happened three times in a, like just in stop. Three games.
It's terrible. It's
right,
terrible.
Well, hey, so anywho,
yeah,
Aaron Rodgers.
After you leave, right? We all know that the leader Vince McMahon. He's gone through some really good stuff and some really bad stuff.
Mm.
You know, most recently was you know he had a. Step down for some of the affairs that he allegedly had. Being guys just floating around, do these rumors go around about Vince doing this sort of stuff, or how does that work?
When all this came out, honestly, no clue. Never heard any of that.
Never.
Nah. Never heard it. I'm being honest. When yeah. all that stuff came out, It was probably came out a month after I got let go, and then all this shit starts coming out because it was this weird transition of Stephanie had left,
right,
to be able to spend more time with the kids,
right.
Hunter had his serious health issue.
Yep,
she was, and all of a sudden it's Vince is being forced to step down. Stephanie's coming back. Okay, Vince is pushing his way back in. Stephanie's leaving to spend time with the kids. Like,
you know, it's funny. You brought up Hunter. When that whole thing was going down, what's the rumors going? Were people thinking he wasn't going to make it? What was that? What were the people talking about there?
You know, at the beginning, I didn't hear much. I know one of the Saudi. I actually got it. We all one of the Saudi shows. It was in the fall, and our flight. We would always take a Saudi Air. Was direct to JFK. Gets canceled. Actually, they never really canceled it. They just wasn't leaving. It was probably about a dozen of us from the office, all flying to New York. They weren't giving us any answers. We didn't know what was going on. So we start texting the head of security was on our flight. He was in some special lounge that all these, you know, I don't even know how you get in there. He somehow talks to the people up there. They let us all in. Now we're trying to figure out how the hell we're getting home. Because, you know, there's only a couple of flights a day to try to get somewhere. There was some computer glitch. I don't even know what story they told.
Right.
We ended up getting on a Qatar Airways flight at 5 p.m. We were right at the airport at like 4 in the morning for a 6 or 7 a.m. flight to New York. They were all sleeping in the lounge. Like, they must have been going, what the hell are you? Goofball Americans on a couch. Who's on the floor? Who's behind the couch? We ended up on the same flight. Like, 1 hour flight from Riyadh to Doha, and then a 7 hour layover. Now you could drink, once you get out of Saudi, you could drink in Doha in the airport. And a massive lounge, like the size of 5 football fields. Like, 4 of us together start eating, and then, you know, hey, I'll have a beer. I'm like, I get a text. For some reason, because I don't have a number, it says, maybe Stephanie McMahon. I open it. Johnny, how you doing? Are you guys okay over there? We heard there's... This word got back to her that a whole bunch of us were stuck. She texted everybody, see how they were doing.
Who was texting her?
Stephanie.
Stephanie. Oh, okay, gotcha. All right.
I was like, yeah, you know, this stuff happens. What are you going to do? You know, just write it out. She texts back, yeah, it's true. That's not your first rodeo. Be safe. I say, hey, send my best to Paul, please. And she's like, oh, I will. He's doing better. And, you know, it was sometime in October. And then when he started coming back around, I guess, was he at Mania last year? I think he was.
Yeah, he was, yeah.
And he looked good, but you know, you could tell he lost weight. And then a few people said it was pretty serious. I don't know how serious it was. I heard some people saying that it was pretty serious. Like, it was some scary shit. It wasn't a run-of-the-mill, you know, little whatever, you know. But it was, according to people, you talk to whoever talks, you know, everybody talks. They said it was pretty serious. So, he said he was... lucky to be alive.
Yeah, he was close. He was pretty close to death. Yeah. I mean, you know, the whole structure of what's going on with that family running that organization and you're working for them, with all this upheaval, right? You got Vince in trouble. Triple H is having medical problems. Is there a point where you're like, they're just going to sell this company, we're all going to be out of jobs? Or what are you guys thinking about?
I think the thought was, well, I mean, I was already out at that, you know, I was out at that point. Well, once the Vince, I was gone by the time all the Vince
No, but I just say in general, talking right?
To, right. If I was still there or in talking to my former coworkers that I still keep in touch with, they're all like, oh, something's going to be happening. I mean, it's like, and then when Vince pushes way back in, then they're like, are we all going to lose our jobs? Like, who's he selling it to? You know, he wants his money and he's going to take it and run. Now you got this whole merge/purchase.
Yeah, how do you feel about that?
Endeavor.
Merging with UFC now, how do you feel about that?
It's weird because, you know, I saw some interview with Nick Khan saying they got to cut $50 million off the payroll. Now, you're not getting rid of Roman. How many wrestlers could you get rid of and how many office people to make up that number?
Do you ever see NXT being eliminated?
I don't think so. I think it's a good
avenue
for the company.
How much money $50 million has to cut in salary in an operational cost?
From what I read, in Nick Khan said they have to cut $50 million.
50?
50 million.
There goes NXT.
Why does a billion-dollar company like that have to cut $50 million?
I think when these companies merge or purchase, it's happened a million times. There's redundancy. How many accountants do you need? Do you need five accountants for you, Endeavor, and the five accountants, or do you just get rid of two or three?
But like you said, if you have multiple accountants, multiple photographers, multiple cameramen, I get it. But is that going to equate $50 million?
No, but I think for the production end of it, I don't think a lot of on the surface, they won't get rid of the WWE cameramen because you can't just plug somebody down by the ring.
Mm.
And do that job. It's not like shooting a baseball game. You got to know the storyline. You got to know who.
Wouldn't it be the same for a photographer like yourself?
We brought in a lot of people. You got to train them, and that's another thing. I trained probably like five or six photographers over the last couple of years. So you know, writing on the wall, not really thinking that because I was the guy that was running everything, and then I got thanked in my review for not pushing back on all these people they brought in. I'm like, well, that's my job, right? Am I gonna say no?
If you could go back, what could Johnny a Photo have done differently to change that outcome?
I ain't training anybody.
I can honestly, not that I worked my ass off for that company. You know, you're on the road all these years, you say things that were never a problem, and all of a sudden they become a problem. Maybe nobody liked, some new people didn't like the boisterous side of it. Which was like that forever, but the road was changing. Maybe I could have seen that, but I don't think I didn't curse at people. I like I said that one thing. I had four or five of the photographers text me and thank me for helping them, being a mentor, showing them the way, and making sure they knew how to work and get along with the cameramen and everybody else backstage, and for keeping, especially the females, keeping an eye on them and making sure the goofs aren't, you know, being disrespectful on the crew, not the talent, the crew.
John, I'm getting the feeling you were almost cancel cultured by some asshole. Am I wrong to feel that way? I mean, you could just not if you want.
I could have been.
All right.
All right, well, let's go through some positivity. We're going to show some pictures, Johnny. Maybe
it was a good run. Didn't Zack Ryder say that? It was a good run, or did he say it was a decent run? I forget what he had said.
Besides woo-woo-woo?
All right, so picture number one. Undertaker throwing Rikishi
off the
cage.
That's your photo, Johnny?
Yeah.
That's a great photo.
That was my first Hell in a Cell. That was 2000, December 2000, and I think we were in Birmingham, Alabama, and so my boss was inside the cell. I was outside, and he's, you know, where they're, like, I don't even know, I forget if they rehearsed that or what they did. He just said, just be prepared at some point, just keep an eye on Rikishi and Taker. Fighting on the top of the cell, coming towards you. He's throwing him off into the flatbed, you know, the bed of the truck.
Right.
And I just happened to catch him right, you know, in the middle as he's falling down.
It's a mere second or two, but how many snaps do you get as he's coming down?
We used to shoot with photo strobes. We had them in the lighting truss. So you take one shot, you have 3 seconds for it to recycle.
It.
So you got to pick that moment.
You got to be
like we did to now.
Yeah. Oh, man. Now they kind of make it Monty proof, like Monty could actually maybe get something, right?
My thumb.
I don't know about Monty proof, but yeah, it's a lot. It's a, and we have this battle out on the road, and I would say, and a few other guys would say it. Anybody could put their finger down. You got to know, especially in this industry or any sport, for hockey when it was Strobes. It's, I mean, you can only have that one picture to take, and you got to wait 3 seconds. You have to know exactly when to, you know. Sometimes you miss it. Sometimes you know. No, right. I mean the one picture that. And this was film back then, so I didn't even know what I got until it went back to the lab, to Stanford. They sent it to the lab, and like, holy shit, John, you got the same as when Brock missed the F5 at WrestleMania 19.
Wow.
I got his face hitting the mat.
Wow.
And his eyes looked like they're popping out of his head.
His skull turned purple.
That was used a few times. In fact, the funny story about him was they wanted to use it for a later issue for some best of thing. I said, could you ask him if it's okay? We don't want to run it, and he's going to get mad, and we're going to get a phone call. Well, you know, we don't want an angry Brock calling us.
Wow, even the photographers are scared
of Brock.
The
world is terrified of Brock.
I'm not. I've known him since he first came up. I always got along great with him, and I would give him shit. He would just laugh. He's like, oh, yeah, not a problem. Can you guys make me a print of that? Wow, he wanted a print of it for his house. But now Brock was, he's a scary dude. I mean, he's a big motherfucker. You know?
You think?
All right,
but Nick. I always got along with him, and I would work with him. I was like, dude, we got to get these pictures done. And people are like, you talk to him like that? I'm like, well, we got a job to do. I don't care who to. I mean, I won't talk to Taker like that, but Brock was cool.
Taker, you can't mess around with.
Later on in his career, when he mellowed out, we would work him over. But when I first started, I was deathly afraid of him.
Mm. Wow.
In fact, he got on my shit not too long after I started, and I thought I was done.
Well, tell mm. well,
it wasn't
tell,
even my.
Well, tell the story. Tell the story.
I didn't even feel it was my fault. So this is why. So we're in New Jersey. I'm probably with the company like 5 or 6 months. So a lot of the, I just shot ringside. I never shot studio. I didn't interact with the talent at all. Hung around backstage all day, minded my own business. Went to the ring, shot the match, and we left. So I didn't have the interaction years later when we started touring. There were no tours back then. Then we went to England twice a year to do a pay-per-view for Sky Sports. It wasn't like the 10-show tours where we're on the bus and we're with these guys and girls for a week and a half straight. So my boss goes, you have to take everybody's headshot for the athletic commission so they have them for their athletic, whatever license they needed. Mm-hmm. So, it's, you know, the one guy goes, laughing, the other photographer's like, nice job. We were doing a double shot in Jersey, so they had me in a broom closet with a couple of lights in the background and like three WWF t-shirts. It was still WWF back then. Polo shirts. And he walks by and says, hey, excuse me, are we going to get the, can you come into this picture? And he goes, nope. As he's walking past, everyone pops. I go, I knew this was going to be tough. He goes, are you saying I'm tough? I'm like, no.
Oh, shit.
I said, this is going to be tough. Now, I didn't, so he thought I was... giving him shit.
Right.
Being disrespectful, which I wasn't. I said, this job, not you. And my boss goes, he'll hold that for 6 months, and then it'll be forgotten. And it's true, because he came in to do a shoot not long after, and he made a comment about, I said, I'd be here, here I am. I'm like, you know, I just had to take it. And honestly, about 6 months after that, everything was fine.
Everything's not all forgotten.
Then as years went on, we had a really good relationship. He married Michelle. Michelle and I were always friendly, and then his daughter would come backstage. In fact, we did. Every time we were in Austin, he would come, because he lived somewhere outside of Austin, I think. And his daughter, we had the studio set up. We'd be next to catering. I was like, oh, you want some pictures? She's doing all the Shakespeare, all his poses. And so she walks, so she leaves, she goes sit down with her mother and father. I said, Taker, you know, I took more pictures of your daughter more pictures of your daughter in 5 minutes than I did of you in the last 7 years. He started laughing. He's like, that's true. I mean, when I first started, I would never think of ever saying anything like that to him. But he mellowed out as time went on. And he respected the fact that we were on the road and busting our ass.
Trying to do
and
a
we
job.
We respected the business. We respected what, right.
was
the talent.
Was he truly the captain? Was he the Messier of that locker room?
Oh, yeah.
He was.
Yeah, he didn't, I mean, he would, the shit he would say to Big Show and work him over. I mean, you
really?
Just, to sit and listen to some of the stuff that would go on.
Can you give us an idea? Like
we
what
were,
he would say?
We were on tour in Europe somewhere. We were in Italy, and the hotel was probably like a football field's length away from the building. And they put us on a bus to, like, drive around, whatever. And show starts complaining. And he called, he was calling Paul. Paul, if we had a walk, you'd complain too. Just be quiet. I think the first, and Kane was no, you know, he and Kane were tag teaming at the time. Big Show and Kane. I actually think it was the tour after Eddie passed away, which was rough to begin with. But then, So Show, I think, sends somebody out to get a few bags of McDonald's. So they're sitting in the production office. We're all hanging around and waiting for the show to start. And all of a sudden, I see Kane come over, and he's got a whole bunch of fruit. He takes the McDonald's bags, he dumps them out, and he puts all the fruit in the bag, and he takes all the McDonald's and walks away with it. So Show goes to sit down. He's like, who the fuck did you do my food? Glenn!
Did you ever foresee Kane becoming a politician?
You know what? He's a very smart man. And he was sitting and talk or hear him talk on the buses. He and Brian Danielson would go at it politically. They're opposite ends of the spectrum.
I can hear Brian
They were the tag team at the time, so they were always together. And it would just they would go at it politically. And Glenn's very soft-spoken. Maybe you've seen it. That's how he is. I mean, when I first met him, and that's another thing, you were left. So those headshots, he had the big curly hair. He really didn't want to take the picture, but he had to. And his head is like this. They used that as his passport photo. Like a year and a half later, when we first started going back overseas, we went to Japan, Singapore, and Kuala Lumpur. And we're at the airport in L.A. I think we were TV somewhere here on the East Coast, and we were on a private plane to L.A., spent the day in Los Angeles, and then we flew out at night. And everyone's got their passports, and he's like, look at this picture John took of me. This has nobody's gonna let me in the country. I can't believe. Oh, he was all over me.
He's gonna let you in the country.
So of course I said, if you just would have done what I asked, the picture wouldn't look like this.
Yeah.
So now all the boys are popping because I'm giving him shit, and he's just shaking his head. I'm like, he's gonna, you know, these guys. They, you know, suddenly they've gotten us back around by the ring if they've wanted to. You know, they didn't know how to work you. And he never did. I was waiting for him to do something to me at one point and get me back, but. It just the picture became a joke, you know. It was just a long-running joke between the two of us.
Let's talk about this next picture, the "I'm Sorry" picture with Shawn Michaels and Ric Flair.
Oh yeah, well that was you know, we all knew it was coming.
Excellent.
And you get to that point, and you're here on headset, you know, and so I, you know, I'm just looking in a spot, knowing where Shawn's gonna kick him. I'm sorry, I love you. No clue. I know where Rick is standing, and I'm. Just wide enough so I don't miss anything. And then again, I was digital, so you look back at the sequence like, all right, I got it. And then, you know, it ends and he's crying, the whole family, and you get, you know, you get emotional. I mean, Rick is, he's a character. I spent a lot of time with the guy. He's a good dude. Of course, you know, he knew he wasn't going to stay retired, unfortunately.
All right, how about one of the most iconic pictures, the 21-0 Undertaker picture?
Oh yeah, I love that shot. He lost the next year too. This was MetLife. Yeah, in 2013. Yeah, those were. I always had for WrestleMania. I always had a third camera with a fisheye lens to get pyro and everything else. And you know, every year he starts. I guess did they say they first started bringing up the streak in at WrestleMania 17?
Yeah, I was gonna think around that time
because you know, that was my first WrestleMania. So right. I was not keen on what was going on leading up to that, and I think right after that, it was like, that was 10-0, right? When he beat Triple H at the Astrodome. Yeah, so you get to that one, and like, you know, that's the shot. You know what's coming, and it's just, he's going to do the Shakespeare. It was the whole Paul Bearer died, you know, but a few months before that Mania. Right. They made that a major part of the storyline, and you're just waiting for him to hit the pose and the pyro to go off and blast away.
Did they ever turn to you and say, thank you for that picture, like, what an incredible job? Because they have to look back and look at your work and go, man, you immortalized me with some of these pictures.
I never spoke to, you know, I small talk with Shawn over the years. So I mean, something like that never came up. I know when I posted the photo of that picture of Eddie that I took where he's like, hands like this and he's looking at the camera. And that was a backstage thing. And I wrote a story about it, and Chavo commented, because Chavo and I follow each other on Instagram. And it was, I thought the way what he wrote really, you know, gave me a lump in my throat, because he said, I never knew you took that photo. I feel so much better knowing our history with my family and you, that you took that photo.
Wow.
And I was like, wow, because Chavo and I, we would sit and shoot the shit all the time. He's such a good dude. We'll message each other on Instagram, you know, just about different stuff. In fact, he posted a photo of him and Evan Bourne, and he was putting over Evan about how, you know, there are certain guys you can have a good match with anywhere, at any time, because that's how good Matt, you know, I guess he goes by his real name now, right? Matt Sydal.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, someday, and this will be the time I'll tell it now, someone has to tell a story of that 30-minute match. So what happened was, remember the volcano trip? When we were trapped over in Europe?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like all the smoke. So we're about halfway through. I'll tell you this. It's all funny stuff that leads up to all this crazy shit. So somebody told us, oh, that's when Cody had the concussion and he was wearing a mask. So Dean Malenko, I think it was Dean, decides he should have a boxing headgear on for his matches. So there's a live event. So we're the only ones. So it's the haha.
Right.
So I took a picture of him, a tight shot, and he just has a sad look on his face. And I said afterwards, because then I showed it to him. He goes, you know, every time you point the camera at me, my self-esteem goes lower and lower. But he got, because he actually had a legit concussion, they sent him home. So he got lucky.
Mm.
I remember Charles Robinson, because the referees would split the tours. We were doing the entire tour at the time, all 12 shows and the TV taping. And that was springtime, so we were in London. And they go, you're not going to be able to go home. Like, what are you talking about? And Charles said, he goes, a volcano erupted in Iceland. So what's that got to do with Europe? Well, that stuff's going to be floating this way with the jet stream. So we're doing a bunch of shows in smaller towns in France. And we're waiting to get on. We always flew a private plane in between cities or countries. And we're waiting. They're like, oh, there's a mechanical issue. Everyone's like, yeah, I think it's bullshit. Stuff's going on with this ash cloud.
Mm.
So next thing you know, get the buses. So the company in London, they had a company in London that did all the travel, handle everything. It was like a 7 or 8 hour bus ride to get to this other. We were like one side of France to the other, I think. So I always rode the heel bus. So I'm sitting with Show, and they got all those sandwiches and candy bars, and he's trying to get into the bathroom. So I had my camera, but I wasn't going to take pictures. So all of a sudden his head pops out, and he's like, you want to take a picture of me, don't you? I'm like, Show, I'm not going to do anything. This is our time. I don't, you know. If there's other stuff to document in the course of this crazy trip, you trying to squeeze out of the bathroom is not one of them. So we're about half hour. We're about, yeah,
that's right.
We're about half hour outside of
Big Show on the bowl.
I forget what town we were in. So we pull over and into some like a park and ride kind of thing. And there's a Mercedes van and a Mercedes and a bunch of motorcycle police. And I go, we're taking Chavo and Evan get in the van, referee and a trainer. And I think maybe Dean Malenko. It was I think Dean was with us. I know Mike Rotunda was one of the other agents. You guys go ahead and wrestle until we get there. Now they're already planning. We're not getting on a plane. And we were going from Paris now to Belfast, somewhere in France to Belfast. So like we got to cut the show short. So we have to make this ferry that leaves at whatever time to get across the English Channel, drive across England, take another ferry to get to Ireland. So we get there, and they said, like, Evan and Chavo put on a 30-minute match.
Mm.
Wow.
They wrestled until we got there, and the guys could change. They announced in French that we're only going to be here for, we have to cut the show short. We'll make it up to you the next time back. And then it was blankets and sheets, bus to the ferry. Now it's customs, they're chaining, you know, Randy's getting all agitated. Randy, I'm like, dude, just calm, everything's cool, we'll be all right. People sleeping everywhere. They're on a bus across England, stop at some hotel. They have a catering, you know, the restaurant open a catering hall for us to eat. But the rest of the way, ferry across to Dublin, and then like 3 hour bus ride to it was like an hour and a half from Dublin to Belfast, whatever it is. Get there just before the show. Guys put on a show. We were doing a double shot in Belfast to end a tour. But we weren't going anywhere because the plane no one was right. flying. So at some point, I know they told us, well, the hotel doesn't need the rooms. You guys can, you know, you're here until, you know, you can go home. So I get a call from the guy on the SmackDown. He calls me. Like, hey, what's up, Craig? I'm at the bus station in Geneva, Switzerland. They just left, us here. So it was him, Trainer, some of the guys from the London office, the Dude Busters, who was Trent, who better than Trent? What was it? Trent Beretta, his name at the time.
And right.
Mm-hmm. I forget who his tag partner was. A couple other talent.
Trent was on the show early on.
Yeah, very early yeah. on.
Good
yeah.
dude. Yeah, Long Island guy.
Yep.
Yeah. Kind of found out why he wasn't going to make it, though.
What?
Because his mother drives him to the show? No, that's a funny gimmick,
the Ninja
though,
Turtles got him into wrestling. That much I remember. Oy. John, you mentioned something interesting before. You said the heel bus. This is post-2000. What do you mean the heel bus? I thought kayfabe is dead.
There was the heel bus and a heel bus.
Wow. Interesting. That's crazy.
Which I always thought was odd because we'd pull into the building at the same time.
And then you'd all, like, talk to each
Everybody
other.
Everybody gets out of the bus together. I said that, too, to somebody. I said, I know this really doesn't make any sense to me. I know it's not my place to say, but I've been here a long time. Why are we on separate buses, and then we pull into the building together? And they go. So now we're, all right, so we're Belfast.
Force of habit, maybe?
Good. Do the shows, and then it was just, we, like, partied every day.
Right.
Because we weren't going anywhere. We went golfing one day. It was, like, Cena, me, Miz, Ted DiBiase Jr., Hornswoggle.
Hornswoggle.
Was
he had
all
the
right.
kid, he got the kid gloves.
Was there the any, was there any besides the guy you worked for, was there any bad guys that just didn't treat you well, let it be a wrestler or someone in the back? That everybody,
we had a cameraman for a boss for some bizarre reason. Like I said, we got bounced around. He wasn't a bad guy, but he didn't, like, they gave him the objective to decrease spending. Like, and he was coming up with these ways to pay the guys less, the freelancers. Great. And it was a constant battle. And they were all ready to mutiny. They're like, we would leave it only out of respect for you. Somebody else told me this. A higher up told me who they went complaining to. Because it was another thing. We were in Europe, and we're having this, like, I just did the TVs, and two guys were on the other tours. All of us were at the tapings together, and one guy, he came up to me, one of the higher ups on the road, and said, you know, these guys, if it wasn't for you, they would leave. But out of respect for you, they're not going to stick it out. And then I was still living in Stanford at the time. A whole bunch of us are flying back to Newark. And it was a van for the studio kids. And this is a big VP. He's like, Johnny, come with me. I got an extra seat in my car. I'm like, all right, cool. And then the whole ride home, I said, look, dude, I don't know what to do with this situation. But they all want to quit. And I keep bringing this to attention. And then he must have, when he got into the, we got back, I got my car and went home. He must have went in and spoke to him because then I got a phone call the next day. So I spoke to so-and-so. I'm like, yeah, man, I didn't mean to bury you. I just don't really know what's going on with this situation. I need somebody to talk to. I don't know how to approach you about this. All right, let's talk. I said, TV needs to be left alone. You want me to do more local stuff? You want us to hire guys to shoot an autograph signing in St. Louis instead of flying somebody there? Fine. TV is TV. It should never be touched. You shouldn't be trying to take money away from anybody. They don't do it to the cameraman. They don't do it to the audio guys. We shouldn't do it to the photographers. Okay. And then everything was cool after that.
Oh, good.
You know, but it was, like, you know, sometimes you don't know in the situation because he's kind of a ornery person to begin with. Like, you know, but he has his nice moments, but most of the times he's a pain in the ass. Like, well, how do I deal with this guy? And,
fans want to know any Hulk Hogan stories?
Hulk Hogan, I tell you what. Well, you know the whole story when we did the NWO, drove around with them for 3 days, right?
No, I know the story, but maybe we share it with everybody.
John, before you get into Hogan, I wanted to ask you, were you a fan of Hogan growing up just like we were? Because
I had a Hogan Mania shirt.
So you were a total dissolved. Yeah. You must have been excited as shit when they were bringing the NWO in. It's early in your time in the company.
That was the only time I really, like, internally marked out.
There we go.
We did a shoot. Well, I didn't do the shoot. They brought them to Stanford, to the studio. So if you look at any of those original three-guy NWO photos, those were taken by one of the free. I assisted. And when I walked in and saw them there, I was like,
Mark moment.
And we started talking to him. Cool dude. And he was asking for Steve Taylor, who was the original photographer. Mm-hmm. He was the first WWF photographer. Got into event operations. Tom took over. Then Tom hired me. Tom left. I took over. It was like the three of us in succession. And he goes, where's Steve Taylor? Because he remembered him. Because they spent, and Steve would go and like babysit on the movie. He told me, that's a guy you should try to have on. I don't, he won't drive down. He lives up in New Hampshire, but because he was the guy through the heyday of the 80s, 70s, 80s, right. And early 90s. And he would babysit Hogan on the movie sets and shoot production still. So he was with Hogan all the time. Like, he runs event operations. You know, catch him at a show. And then we just started talking about different stuff. And I used to love watching somebody like Tuesday Night Titans. He goes, goddamn, we were so high. That was the only way to get through that show. But they were cool. But we did. So Mike knows the story. So when they had the magazine, there would be every now and again, there would be like 72 hours with somebody or 48 hours. I know my one buddy that still works, you know, still freelance for the company, told me about the 48 hours with Steve Austin. And the famous line was they were all in catering talking with Vince going over something. And Vince goes, what are you doing? He goes, well, we're doing 48 hours with Steve Austin. He goes, why don't you make it 47 and a half and take a break? Basically told him to get lost. So we did 72 hours. It was over the No Way Out run. Milwaukee, Chicago, Rockford, Illinois. So they said, you're going to go with one of the writers, rent the biggest SUV you can find, and drive them around. Okay. So we get there, and I think the writer goes, this is the biggest one I had. It wasn't a Suburban. It was like, well, you know, there's no way we're going to fit. Like, you know, Kevin Nash is 6'11", Hogan's 6 whatever, Hall's a big guy, and us two, and the bags. So, like, we got to figure something out. So the first day with Milwaukee, they're like, they're having breakfast, we're hanging out with them, we go to the gym with them. We get in the car to drive to the building, which is across the street where we stay at the same height in Milwaukee. Building's across the street. And Kevin Nash is in the front seat. He goes, put your seatbelt on. Like, excuse me? He goes, put your seatbelt on. I'm not driving unless you're not going anywhere until you put your seatbelt on. I'm like, yes, sir. I don't have the seatbelt on. I'm not going to argue with you.
Right.
But, you know, whoever we told, it might have been Shane McMahon. I don't think we could do the 3 days with everybody in the car. I will get a limo. So I rent the limo. Everybody thinks we specifically rent, the company specifically rented a limo for these three guys, and there was already uneasiness from most of the talent roster that these guys were here, especially the WCW guys that left, that didn't like them because they took over the show. And I explained to people, we didn't get, you know, then they're coming up to me. I said, we couldn't get a big enough SUV for the five of us. They got a limo. There was not a specifically, you know, I had to sit there and explain to people. But a lot of stuff was squashed because Steve and Kevin were tight. Austin. And because Steve and Kevin were chatting a lot, things were kind of eased up amongst everybody. And then Steve was starting his program, I guess, with Scott going into Mania. But sitting in the car, I was like, you know what, let's have somebody go out and get beer so we have it for the car ride. And the guys are probably going to want to have something to drink after the show. So we're about to get in the car, and Hogan goes, they're going to need some adult beverages. I said, oh, I already got it taken care of. Puts his hand up, he goes, brother, I think I'm going to like you. I'm like, so we had the cooler with beer. And I honest to God, 98% of the stories were off the record that they could not, like, were never going in the magazine. Just how they manipulated getting more money out of Turner, all three of them. But the shit they used to pull, all kinds of crazy stuff and whatever. Oh, they were just telling us everything. It was just who fought in hotel rooms, who had problem. You know, it was like brawls, who was this, who was that. And I'm like, these guys are out of your mind.
Interesting,
like,
dynamic.
Free for all.
You're telling me Austin was tight with Nash. How did he receive, hey, what's up, Kevin? And look at Hogan like, you prick. I mean,
I don't think he really had much to do about it. You know, Hogan was, The Rock was wanted his match with Hogan, and, you know, they went back, you know, because of Rocky Johnson or whatever. But, I don't really recall. I just remember Steve talking a lot with Kevin, you know, the first couple of times they were back. Because they were backstage like a month before in L.A. doing scans for the video games. And that's when shit started getting like, people like, what are these guys doing here?
How was Scott Hall with you? Were you shocked when, you know, he passed away?
He was, well, when he came back at that time, he was taking these pills that if he drank, he would vomit.
Right.
Oh, okay.
So he wasn't drinking at all.
Okay.
And he was cool. He was talented. I mean, it just, I mean, what they, the ribs they used to pull on people just made, kind of made me shake my head and go, you know, we gimmick somebody's drink. I don't really quite understand some of the stuff that these guys would do. They thought were funny, but with us, there was never, in fact, we had a, like, we got to go to the bathroom. So we stop and we pull into a parking lot of an office building and we're all outside taking a leak. And Scott Hall goes, doesn't matter how much money we have, we're all just white trash. So we popped. I popped here and there. You know, like, that was hysterical.
All right, one final question because we're almost out of time.
What?
Relationship between Vince and Shane McMahon that you saw, did they have a good relationship from what you could see, or did you feel there was some kind of tension?
I think he was hard on Shane.
He was.
Yeah. What, Shane, I love Shane. Shane's a great dude. I think Shane has more of his mother's personality.
Okay.
Stephanie's more like Vince.
Okay.
It's just, you know, I think it's your typical parent-child business. Like, you're running a business, you want to pass it off to your kids.
Did Vince intend Shane to be the heir apparent, but just it was Stephanie who clearly had more of his makeup, or?
I don't know, to be honest with you. You know, it's that whole crazy stuff at the Rumble last year.
Right.
We didn't know any, you know, I don't know who's got heat with each other, or who's going. We just, you know, we go out and shoot the show. And then you hear about everything the next day or the 2 days later about, you know, they sent them home. You got heat with the boys or whatever. I don't know. A guy jumped off a freaking damn hell of a cell.
He killed himself many times for his father.
But
absolutely.
But would you see any kind of interaction between them at all that made you feel?
I was
feel...
in some meetings with them, and, you know, he would get a little short with Shane.
Really? You ever catch a full-blown argument of any kind? Like, you know,
me?
Really? Okay.
So, Johnny, I'm really, the biggest thing I'm pissed off about is this. WWE is about to go into legalized gambling. If you were still with them,
terrible.
You could just be like, yo, drop.
Oh, would you stop it?
This guy.
This is the hot tip guy?
Oh, my God. Oh, how hot would that
you're
have
right.
been?
Go back to work for them. Anyway.
How hot would that? We would have been rich. Rich.
Hey, speaking of going back to work in the business, we've watched AEW, because I definitely want to throw this in.
Right.
We've watched AEW pluck one WWE, you know, personality after another. Have you thought about contacting them? Because they really could use some professionals over there with their product.
I know one of the guys that shoots ringside. He actually did some work for us. He was TNA's guy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they kept... Guy from Pro Wrestling Illustrated would always say, hey, man, can you use this guy? I'm like, as long as he's shooting for TNA, he can't work for us. That's just how we are. You know? It was like a strict, no inter-promotional employees. Yeah. And then he told me he got screwed out a lot of money by them, and he's done with them. So he was doing some NXT because he was living in Orlando. Came out on the road a bunch of times. Nice guy. Good shooter. Some of the boys knew him from some TNA, like with Bubba Ray. A bunch of guys came back from TNA. Oh, he's a good dude. I'm like, yeah, no, he's a nice guy. A lot of nice conversations. He's a good photographer. And then one day, one of the editors goes, yo, dude, he's tagged on this Instagram page with all the TNA girls and like this 4th of July pictorial. So I called him. He's like, they paid me cash. I'm sorry. I'm like, dude, man, you know, you know our arrangement. You went and did that.
Right.
You know, you can't work here anymore. Right. He's like, oh, you guys are above my league. I'm like, I've seen you work. You know, it was kind of like, He's at AEW now. I don't know the other guys. I reached out through Taz to get to some people in the office and some other guys because there's a lot of people from WWE behind those scenes production wise that are there as well.
Right.
Now and I think they have their people. I don't know if they want it now. Because I talked to one guy. He goes, I'm surprised they wouldn't hire you with all your experience shooting wrestling. Like,
right.
Who would they bring in that's shot bigger shows than you out there? And then I told the guy, I don't even want to work every week. You need an extra guy for pay-per-views? I'll come out once a month.
There you go.
You know? I live in New York. You want me to come to Queens? You got something going? Then another guy, hey, he's probably going to call you for the Queens show. Never heard from him. So I got, you know, I've talked to some other people, but, you know, like Impact and them. What are they going to pay for me to go?
Our ratings
somewhere?
Are better than Impact. Forget about that. Forget about that.
Well, John, I'm really hoping you get back into the business. I mean, just by your portfolio alone, you've taken some of the greatest iconic pictures in history of pro wrestling.
Yeah, I mean, I like to think, you know, I left a positive mark.
You sure did. You did.
The photo department for WWE, and I took some photos that'll be used forever. I mean, I think that my favorite one that'll never be used is Linda kicking Vince in the balls at WrestleMania 17.
Oh, that
that'll
was,
never get used, but that's one of my favorites.
That was awesome.
Her leg is just like that.
Perfect.
Well, John, for some reason, I think you're going to get back into it. I think AEW is going to call. I think the problem with AEW right now is they're not focused on that type of, like, that type of social media at this point, right? I mean, they're still just trying to get their act together. Or maybe the WWE wake up and then bring you back, right? So
why not?
Well, I mean, they brought Sable back, but I don't think they're going to bring me back. I don't move the needle like she did back in the day.
You never know. Johnny, once again, thank you. You're a friend. We love having you on the show. Thank you
anytime,
for these wonderful
man.
Story.
Enjoy coming chat. God, I could tell like 5 years. I got 20 years worth of stories.
Hey, you know what, too? Maybe we can go to a Jet game and not call him.
Don't call me.
Because he'll just make fun of us while we're there and tell us terrible things are going
to
happen.
I'm going to give you
both. I went to a Jacksonville game in the rain last
that
year.
That was terrible. What were you?
I'm going to give you both the scenarios.
Oh,
season will start. And
stop
game
it.
One, I'll
hold
be
my
like,
ears.
Same old Jets. You'll say same old Jets.
I'm not.
Solace, get him out of the, get him
it.
Off the field.
Nope.
Whatever, it's over.
Well, they better get Quinnen signed.
Yeah, they really do need to get that taken care of.
But I think they got to restructure Rodgers first before they can do anything with him.
Yeah, well,
right?
He's only making $1 million this year. Yeah, right. Yeah, that's going to be readjusted. But, Johnny, just remember to get that camera ready. At the end of the season, when that finger goes up in the air from number 8, okay? You just get ready. Get ready.
All right, guys, I want to thank you all for joining us. Another wonderful interview with Johnny Photo next week. The return of Ahmad Johnson.
Nice.
And then we've got on the 24th, JoJo. And,
very nice.
I think
okay.
Next week is the 15th, so that's that special kickoff show.
Okay.
We'll be making a special announcement. So,
yes, sir.
Yeah, Johnny, wonderful interview. Fans loved it. Great stories. We could have went on forever.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I'm shocked. We're at 10:30.
I know. Abe, thank you for hanging in there so long.
Thank you.
Thanks, superstar.
Abe.
Last thing before we go. Any quick memories on the Iron Sheik, both as a professional and as a wrestling fan?
As a wrestling fan, hated him.
Sure.
And I think my favorite moment was from Madison Square Garden when Antonio Inoki took off his boot and bloodied him with it.
I remember that.
I remember my brother and I going apeshit crazy when
was
he got
the boot. Is that junior high?
Off. Probably.
Damn.
Early 80s.
That's right. Yeah, that's right in the beginning.
And as far as working with him, the Bobby Heenan, it'll be WrestleMania 38 by the time he gets to the ring.
Right.
I heard that in headset, couldn't stop laughing. But they had brought him back for some reunion stuff. And we were shooting some backstage thing, and he's in a room doing whatever. All of a sudden, I just hear him cursing about Hogan. And then I hear, we can't use that. Sheik, we have to do, you can't do that. You had to keep
great.
Telling him, you can't curse.
What
you
the fuck you mean, Bubba?
So I hear through the wall, F this, F that, Hogan. Like, so we're all laughing. They come out there like.
In hindsight.
All you had to say was Hogan, and he would go on.
He'd go nuts.
Man.
In hindsight. Yeah. After his passing, is he one of the greatest heels of all time?
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah.
If you look back at our age and look at it, you laugh now. Because you watch any of the, you watch it go online and watch any of the bloopers with Mean Gene in the backstage interviews.
The turkey?
I just watched that one
turkey,
yesterday.
Turkey, that's the greatest thing I've ever seen.
Gene immediately, and he, Mean Gene,
bird.
The greatest of all time backstage. How he, you know, you watch those flubs.
Great.
How he keeps a straight face.
Yep.
Looking at Sheik from a 55-year-old perspective, you laugh at it. But as a kid, through his career, his wrestling career,
ate that up.
He was hated. He was great at him and Volkov when they would stand there and he would salute and sing the Russian national anthem.
Oh, yeah.
Shit was flying from everywhere.
Yep.
Classic shit. When I would see Volkov, he would always come to the shows in Baltimore because he lived in Baltimore.
The one thing that proved to me to be that he was one of the greatest heels of all time, he took a heel like Sergeant Slaughter
and made him
and with one glance beloved. Turned him into a fan favorite
right.
That quickly.
USA I ran immediately like Slaughter was loved all of a sudden.
Oh yeah. And you know what? When I would see Sarge or he would come on tours as an agent way back when before he stopped traveling, it was I said, I can't give anybody bigger credit than you than to be a person that turned on the country at that time and deal with what you had to deal with. And he was living in Connecticut at that time. And stories are death threats, people coming by the house. His wife was in a panic while he's on the road, having everybody hate him.
The mailman's challenging him to a Cobra Clutch challenge. It's getting rough.
Right, but hell of a nice guy. If very
we keep,
respectful.
If we keep going, it's going to be midnight. So Jimmy, yeah, send us on our way.
You've been watching Johnny Photo, Monty, and the Pharaoh. And until next time, later.